the passages that we have considered here together. Tonight is a record of Christ's great sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus Christ had beforehand, he had preached in the synagogues, most probably in this occasion, due to the multitudes, there wouldn't have been room. We find the Lord ascending into a mountain, out into the open air, to set forth his discourse before the people. He concludes his sermon by showing a comparison of two houses and tells us where the main difference lies. Though these two houses, they look so similar, there is a very important difference. Because it is that important, it is a matter of life and death. A matter of eternal security, the matter of eternal damnation. You see, often is the case that it is very difficult to tell the difference between the true child of God and the false professor. You see, take for example, you have a £5 note in each hand. Yes, they look so similar as you hold those notes in each hand. One's genuine, yet the other's fake. One's real, yet the other's counterfeit. But with the naked eye, they look the same. They look so similar. Yet, well, when those notes are placed under the ultraviolet light, up at the counter, or the express checkout, as soon as those two notes come under the ultraviolet light, well, the light reveals that which is genuine and that which is fake and false. And yet, the great truth is, God's Word. God's Word is a light. And His truth reveals those who are His and those who are not His. Yet we must get back to the passage. Because Christ gives us a greater picture. He gives us a parable because He speaks of two houses. One of the houses is described as being built without a foundation and is in great danger, and great will be the fall of it, never to rise again, while the other is built upon a firm foundation and is safe and secure and is being upheld by its great strength. Both houses, they look so similar as they are merely stood erected. Perhaps side by side, standing next to each other. But when the winds blow and the storms come, well, the floods dash against them. And well, the one without a foundation will immediately fall, while the other is safe and sound. And so the great lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ was portraying, the great lesson is that it is a vain thing to an unsuccessful thing to profess to be a Christian when you have no foundation. It is a vain thing. This was the great lesson. It is a vain thing to profess to be a Christian when you have no foundation. And so, as a way of a title, Christless Christian. Christless Christians. Jehovah is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul. And those who reject Him will remain forever restless. And therefore, right at the very outset, I ask you a simple question. Is everything in order? Is everything in order? Is Christ thy rest? Is Christ thy rest? Firstly, we have professors without practice. Professors without practice. As I stated earlier, that Christ was preaching this great sermon on the mount, we understand that there was a great audience of people, as it's recorded in Luke 7, verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people. You see, many had gathered to hear the sayings of Christ. Many had gathered to hear the sayings of Christ, and I don't believe for one minute that Christ would have merely whispered these words, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I don't believe for one minute that Christ would have merely whispered these words to his congregation, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the point is, many do perish. Many do perish because of their own self-determined sinfulness. Because of their own volition. Their own choice. Because man chooses evil because he is wholly inclined to evil. And that is evangelical repentance. Evangelical repentance, without which all must perish. You see, in today's preaching, in pulpits across our land, there is no preaching of repentance and faith. But my friend, the two go together. They're inseparable. You can't separate them. And therefore, those who are preaching easy believism, my friend, it is not the gospel, because the two go together. And this was the burden of all the preachers. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent and believe the gospel. You see, the two go together. The two go together. And so, he sets this question before them. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He sets this question before them with great urgency and warning. Why are you doing it? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You see, he was addressing them, saying to them, why are you calling yourself a Christian and claiming to be a child of God, and that I am your master, when you do not the things which I say? Oh yes, many call him Lord. Many call him Lord, who do not act accordingly. You see, he was revealing to them. He was revealing to them that their true nature, that is their true nature, what they were, oh, not by name, because they professed his name. And they were showing them, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ was revealing to them their true nature. Showing them themselves to themselves, that their practice didn't back up their profession. And so, unless our lives are thus built on and into Christ, they will collapse into a heap of ruin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was simply saying to them that they were a bunch of pretenders. That having a form of godliness was not enough. Isn't that what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first 5? You don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so God saw their hearts. God saw their hearts, the true root of the matter, that a mere external show, a mere outward show was not enough. And that is, external show of religion is not enough. Pretending great devotion and holiness, being outwardly religious before men, having the mask of Christianity, having the mask of Christianity and a visor of godliness, plan of doctrine, a form of sound words, a scheme of truths, which men may have without partaking of the grace of Christ, the grace of God. You see, the Church of Rome, claims the title Christian. But they're no more Christian than a dog or a flea. The JWs bear Jehovah's name, but they do not know Jehovah. And they deny that Christ is God. Oh, they bear his name. Christless Christians. Yet they deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. From such, turn away. Rome holds the doctrine of the Trinity. They have the scriptures of truth. Well, some of them. Having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Pretending to be the Lord's own sheep. Pretending to be the Lord's own sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so, friends, it will not be sufficient enough to call him Lord, Lord, and bring us to heaven if there is no conversion in the heart. If there is no conversion in the heart. We are cheating ourselves if we think that a bare lip service of religion will save us, and that hearing the sayings of Christ will bring us to heaven without doing them. You know what it means? It means like these men. They were standing in the open air. It means you can stand at a gospel open air. It means you can go to church. It means you can preach the word of God. It means you can be baptized. You can be catechized. You can sit at the Lord's table and still go to a Christless eternity. Because the Bible clearly states, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so, what is his will? His will is that we believe in Christ, that we repent of sin, that we live a holy life, that we love one another. This is the message. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so The two go together. You cannot separate them. Repentance and faith. That is, by repentance, we must forsake our sins. And by faith, we must receive the forgiveness of them. This is what Christ himself came preaching when he was here in the flesh, when he was here upon the earth. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You see, we must not think that reforming our lives will save us without trusting in the righteousness and grace of Christ. Or that trusting in Christ will save us without the reformation of our hearts and lives. You see, for after a man repents, he hates his sin. He doesn't want anything to do with his sin. He runs from sin. Before a man repents, he practices in his sin. He loves his sin. He wallows in his sin. Therefore, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent ye. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye, or ye shall all likewise perish. If we repent not, we shall certainly perish eternally. As others have done so before us, and are suffering the consequences, even as we're gathered here now. Make no doubt about it. And so, he has set before us life and death, good and evil, and put us to our choice. And why are you doing it? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If I whisper it, if I shout it out, the words are still the same. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The Lord wasn't their master. Oh yes, they were in the open air. They were amalgamated together. But the Lord wasn't their master because they didn't do the things which he said. And therefore they were by nature the children of wrath. They were born exposed to wrath. And friend, it doesn't matter if you were born into a respectable home. It doesn't matter if you were born into a dysfunctional home. You were born facing a coming eternity. And that is how it is with you who are outside of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, you can have the great privilege of being nurtured in the gospel in the sense a father preaching, a mother praying and pleading. They brought up in a Christian household and yet still lose your soul. And so you who are outside of Jesus Christ, you who are not saved, do you understand that ye are of your father the devil? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. That is under his authority, under his influence, his instructions, his directions, and ready to fall after him and obey his commands. Perhaps, well, you say, preacher, that's a bit strong. Preacher, that's a bit strong. That's what the Holy Ghost says. That's what the Holy Ghost says. Men are not born into this world children of God. They are born children of wrath. Born facing a coming eternity. Born strangers to grace and to God. Born without God. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Born transgressor. Born without God. Born in sin. Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so they are born children of wrath, because the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice, these men were disobedient. They were disobedient. Because Christ said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so they profess Christ. They profess Christ, but they didn't practice Christ. Therefore, they didn't have Christ. They were Christless Christians. Christless Christians. Why? Well, doesn't Romans 8 sums it up? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And therefore they were hearers. They were hearers and not doers. Professors without practice. As it states in verse 49 of that passage that we read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. But he, that is verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, that is, violently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. These men, they were deceived into thinking that they were the Lord's when they weren't. You see, doesn't Jeremiah sum it up rightly? He says of the heart. He says of the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. All things, not some things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? These men were actually deceived into thinking that they were the children of God when they weren't. And so God actually addresses the issue. He puts his finger right on it. He addresses the issue, knowing and seeing their hearts. Why are you calling yourself a Christian? Why are you taking that title? When you do not the things which I say. Give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Yes, once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But are you sure you're saved? You see, there's no uncertainty on his part. There's no uncertainty on his part, but on ours, the only security is our faith in his promise and the fruits of the Spirit. W.P. Nicholson, he said it, you cannot be saved and not know it. You cannot be saved and not show it. You see, their practice did not back up their profession. And they understand, they see the linkage. You cannot be saved and not know it. You cannot be saved and not show it. Because the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is a thorough change of the heart. Oh, friend, you can have all the outward regalia. You can fool parents. You can fool the person beside you, but you cannot fool God. And so the Lord was addressing the issue. He was showing them themselves to themselves. He was showing them that it was a heart matter, that it was an internal matter, that it wasn't external. It is a thorough change of the heart, as I've said, a new creature. And this ought to be the care of all who profess the Christian faith, that they be new creatures. That they be new creatures. Not only that they have a new name, but that they have a new heart and a new nature. Because so great is the grace of God. So great is the grace of God makes in the soul that as it follows, old things are passed away, old thoughts, old principles, and old practices are passed away, and all things must become new. Because regenerating grace creates a new world in the soul. All things are new. By new, that is the renewed man. The renewed man, he acts by new principles, new practices, new rules, new ends, and a new company. And so, friend, if you're not saved, you can be sure you can be saved. Oh, perhaps you're not sure as where to you stand, where you stand. Let me tell you something. You can be sure. You can be sure. Because there is a possession provided. A possession provided. And just like Job, you can go away from this meeting. I know that my Redeemer liveth. You can go away from this meeting because there is a possession provided, and that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this sin-cursed world, the one who took upon himself a flesh like ours, yet without sin, because he couldn't sin, because he's God manifest in the flesh. And praise God that he puts his finger on sin in order that we would receive the remission for it. praise God that He shows us ourselves to ourselves in order that we would receive the forgiveness of those sins. Ah, but sure the devil would say, ah, but sure you've been pulling those around you for years. You've been pulling them people beside you for years, and you'd be better just keeping that to yourself. Well, you think it out. What is going to be the outcome of that? You lose your soul. Far better to leave off a false sense of security and to embrace His grace. Praise God, He shows us the sin in order that we understand and see the remedy. The remedy. The possession provided. Verse 47 to 48. Whosoever cometh to me, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Christ is the rock and no other. Peter is not the rock. Peter is but a pebble. Christ is the rock. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief, a cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And so he is the possession provided, though rejected by men. He is the happiness, comfort, and safety of all those that believe in him. Because he alone strengthens the building, but unites the parts and keeps them together. He is both the foundation and cornerstone. And therefore, there is no other way by which sinful souls can be saved. No other way. But by him and him only. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And so this is our chief concern. That is our salvation. Our rescue from wrath and from the curse. Above everything that you place important, this is the one thing needful. The eternal well-being of your soul. That is God's salvation. Our rescue from wrath and from the curse. And our restoration to God's favour and blessing. You see, without Jesus Christ, there is no other way of salvation. And so we come back to where we started. Is everything in order? Is everything in order? Are you likened unto a wise man? Which built his house upon a rock? Or are you likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Oh yes, the storms come to both houses. For he maketh his sun to rise in the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The storms in life, they come to both houses. And so for the child of God, he is safe and secure and being upheld by his great strength. Yet the foolish man, the unsaved man, is not. And great will be the fall of it. Never to rise again. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. We were dealing with the blood of Christ this morning. Friend, you are in a day of grace, a day of opportunity. But do you understand if you reject so great salvation and fall headlong into a Christless eternity, great will be the fall of it, never to rise again, because not even the blood of Christ will be able to ransom me. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Not even the blood of Christ. And so do you understand? The gospel never says, come tomorrow. The gospel never says, leave it off. Felix, he left it off. He says, I'll call for thee in a more convenient season. And yet, Felix, we never read of them ever calling upon God. And yet the Bible says, for whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel never says, come tomorrow. It says, today, if you will hear his voice. Harden not your heart. The gospel says, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Gospel says, behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. Escape for thy life. Flee from wrath to come. Flee to the possession provided. Let us bow